Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Welcome to the very latest edition of the Premier View Tipperary GAA podcast. Don't forget to give us a follow if you haven't done so already on Twitter. We are at Premier View Pod. On Facebook, our page is the Premier View Podcast, and on Instagram, where we are Premier View Podcast. We have up-to-the-minute news on all things Tip GAA across all our socials, plus the odd giveaway, so don't miss out. If you're a Spotify listener, don't forget to hit follow and also hit the bell so that you never miss a podcast episode.
Hello and welcome to the Premier View Podcast, episode number 112, and it could be our busiest episode yet. Don Lowe Cusack, Martin Brittany, your boys took one hell of a beating at the weekend as the greatest show on earth, or the greatest show on turf, swung back into action with round two of games. 24 games, as I think it was, absolute crackers. We had late winners, not so many draws this round, but load of action, goals galore, some load of action on the club where I was flicking between games as I... at games, loads of drama. We have a couple of teams in relegation. We have one or two teams top spot, but by and large, there is plenty to play for in round three. We're going to start at the top of the ladder, Senior Hurling Group 1. Drummond Inch, lads, they've certainly made a statement. Your neighbour, Sean Smith, I'll come to you there. 2-2 for Drum. They'll be surging up the power rankings at this week.
Yeah, because a game where Drum got their flyer, won 2 there on the board, and I was like, this could be kind of whitewash, but by God, one horn, there's something about me. They dogged him, they hit him hard. Like, they brought it down to the wire. Kind of in the end, it was still was 5-point victory, 321-219. But like, Rome looked to pull away, but Mulnahan will give anyone any trouble. Like, earlier on the year, we probably had Mulnahan as one of the maybe kind of favorites to go down, but at the moment, they're fighting harder physically. And but the problem was, they're probably a bit young in the back line, maybe, which probably cost them later on the game. But as the game got going, the backline got into more. But, you know, Drum, we have to get that win, and that's them now through, you say.
Yeah, I think there was a bit of anti-South bias from the South lads, I think, maybe at the start of the year, maybe thinking that Mulnahan were maybe favourites for relegation. But I was kind of flicking between this game and another one, and you're kind of drawn into this game because Mulnahan were just, they refused to kind of die, you know, like probably a soft enough second goal probably cost them. But, you know, they're certainly a lot. And what they face now is, I won't call it a do or die battle because you've Nina probably are true already. But, you know, they have a great opportunity to make preliminary quarter final by beating Nina. It'd be this Drum and Inch have the top spot in the group, and Brackens are in relegation. So from this group, so great chance for Mulnahan.
Yep, great chance for Mulnahan to qualify out of the group. Look, I think we were being fair at the start of the year by starting the group stages by questioning them. You know, they lost to Seamus Ryan teams 2 years in a row, but they responded. They shoved words down our throat anyway, and, you know, and they put in a big performance. Probably, you know, conceding a goal fairly early and another soft goal You know, like as I said, a 5 point win for Drum, but these lads just don't know how to give up, do they? They just, you know, if you're willing to battle all day, you stand every chance of winning a match.
And Mikey O'Shea looked particularly impressive, didn't he, Stephen? In full forward line, he caused a lot of problems there.
Yeah, he's a fantastic hurler. He's you know, and getting, you know, he's really coming into it now. Like he's you know, a grown man now. You know, he's not an underage hurler anymore. And Mulhone looked him to produce the goods, and he's producing them. You know, so he can't do any more than that.
And Sean, just the final word on Drum, maybe back to you. Look, they probably did what they had to do in this group stage, you know, to go through probably a soft enough divisional exit. But would you put them in as real contenders now?
Yeah, they kind of just went out and made kind of blew out against Loughmore, but I always have them in the last 5 minute top six in the county. So, like, you don't get anyone to play them, like, with the caliber. They're getting their wins on the board, they're doing it impressively. I know I'm one hungry, but still, they're not kind of having to kind of flatter sleeve to put aside Nina well as well, you know. So, David Aaron kind of looking on other teams now. That's the one thing Drum will like, kind of seeing what else around them.
Yeah, and Gareth, I suppose your commentary has gone a bit viral there with the County Champions 2022. You know, not the best title defence in the world, but that was a cracking game against Ross Grey.
It was incredible. I was going to touch on Nina really quickly. I did the game for Clubber there at the weekend, and one thing that really impressed me with Nina was the bench. Jesus, Ben West came off the bench, and Ben, I suppose, been starting for Nina over the last couple of years, and he's been dropped the last few games, and he came on and changed the game in the second half. Obviously 5-15 to 1-15. He came on and scored a pint, but he set up two goals and a pint. And Nina, without Tommy Heffernan and Jake Morris, they're back in my reckoning. I thought they'd struggled big time without Jake, but they're back in my reckoning now for the county. But yeah, moving on to Kinnerwan. Listen, I think everyone in the county loved Kinnerwan winning last year, and coming into this game, I was hoping they'd win as well, because I think they're everyone's kind of favourites as well. Ross Gray for me were probably the favourites to go down, but they're safe now. Lads, this was an absolute cracker. Shane Fletcher didn't puck the ball for the first 20 minutes. He did end up scoring 2-1 then in the space of 3 or 4 minutes. Ross Gray really showed up. It was Ross Gray last year that showed up. Fletcher, Connor Sheedy, like Connor Sheedy was unbelievable wing back. Alan Tynan scored 1-3. If you have to look at Connor Dooley's goal again, lads, goal of the year, was unbelievable. Five players involved in it. But disappointed for Kinnerwan. Keno Kelly was back. Craig Morgan was fit. Niall O'Mara was fit. Seamus Hensley came off the bench, got 3 points. It was just, yeah, disappointing way for Kinnerwan to end the year. And lads, I'm telling you, like, you're looking at probably Bracken's Kinnerwan at the moment, Temple Derry and Clonalty in relegation. Like, Jesus, that this is, I don't think any other relegation in our county is going to have the quality of teams like this.
That's it, exactly. And you know, the 3 to 4 groups here, so you have Toome versus Ross Grey. Could Ross Grey in the final round of the games, could they cause a bit of a shock there, upset Toome and go through, not just stay up?
100%. If Ross Grey beat Toome, I wouldn't be surprised. I was very impressed with Mike Harkey, in fairness. Mike Harkey and Ross Grey obviously drew the first day. I thought Toome would blow Mike Harkey away, but Ross Grey and Mike Harkey drawing it all right. Two teams probably fighting it out for relegation. But I was very impressed with Mike Harkey, and I wouldn't be surprised if the Ross Grey had turned up yesterday, turned up against Toome. Obviously, I think Darren McCarthy might have picked up an injury. I'm not too sure. Toome or Trude, they might rest one or two lads. Ross Grey could top this group, lads, and I wouldn't be surprised at all, and be well deserved.
Yeah, I think Toome maybe need that highway, you know, go and win the group, maybe. I know, as I said, Darragh McCarthy, and that was the Toome of light, the Friday night light so far. Probably didn't reach the heights that they reached in the first game against Cooran, but got the job done versus Mike Harkey.
Oh, geez, yeah, and I watched the game now, and Dara again, look, 1-7. Like, I've seen talents come through in Tip in the last couple of years, and Dara's come through very quietly. Like, there's been no real, I suppose, massive talk about him. But, like, I wouldn't say it's a one-man show this year with him, but himself and Jack Delaney. Jack had 3 points in play, but was brutally quiet. And I mean that in the most positive way possible. Dara is just running the show for Toome this year. Everything he touches, and that's that point he got in the sideline. He went left, he went right, he came back to his left. It was unbelievable. But yeah, fair point about Toome. They probably want to, well, look, obviously they don't win all 3 games, but look, if they have a chance to rest one or two lads, I don't think they'd be stupid enough to, I suppose, play lads with injuries or anything. But geez, all these groups, they're just after teeing up to be absolute belters. And no, I've been very impressed with Toome. A nice young team. I think this year is going to come too soon for them, but they'll definitely be knocking the door there in the next 2 or 3 years for a couple of them breeds, I'd say.
One thing, just for Toome, they're no, I forgot the games, and they kind of rattled in the first 5 or 10 minutes as well. Like, same against McCarthy there, they're down. Yeah. And just rattled them. But McCarthy again, same as against Ross Grey, a lot of wides are kind of killing them in games as well. No. Losing my couple of points, and just wides are killing them. Same against Ross Grey.
Yeah, McCarthy have been a team over the last couple of years, haven't they, Sean? Like, they almost, yeah, not, they just need that big break. Joe, I suppose, yeah, there's a bit of Holy Cross about them. You know, they just, the kind of a lot of kind of underage success and that. Like, but it's not, it's as Gar said, it's a very hard championship to kind of to break through in, but you know, you just need that kind of landmark win. But you know, at the end of the day, that's a relegation quarter final almost now, the way score differences working between themselves and the county champions of last year, Kilruan. So they are where they are.
Just on McCarthy, like McCarthy, are just a, I consider him a good solid yardstick as a senior team. If they went down Premier Intermediate, I'd say they'd bounce right back up. They're just too good for Premier Intermediate, and they're probably a small bit lacking, a small bit quality to be at the top, a top table in senior. But again, I wouldn't be surprised to speak Kilruan. Now, saying that, Kilruan, the first 25 minutes Kilruan hurled yesterday, it was the county champions that hurled in that first 25 minutes. So I'd imagine if Kilruan, the real Kilruan, show up, they will have too much for McCarthy. But Jesus, the way this championship's gone, you couldn't call it.
Exactly. And look, moving on to, are we going to call this the first mini controversy of the weekend? I suppose the Lochmore Holy Cross game, the scoreboard controversy, or, you know, we had a bit of it here with Holy Cross maybe kind of going for goals, dropping balls in around the square when they could have maybe a point would have done and got a very, very valuable draw.
Just on that, before I didn't see the game at all, but on the controversy itself, I think it's absolute nonsense. Now, if anyone from Holy Cross is giving out about it, they've only got themselves to give out about it. I'm probably going to get a load of backlash here. This day and age, you have your PROs, you have your social media, I suppose, people looking after the scores. Between the four officials, the referees, like, Jesus, lads, how did they get a word onto the field? The players are the ones here that are completely blameless. It's the sideline and the committee, whoever. This is completely on their hands. That's an absolute disgrace what happened to Holy Cross players, because that would have gone over the bar and it would have been a well-deserved draw, because, again, I did the Holy Cross game against Upper Church. They were absolute dynamite. So, again, this is completely on the sideline and the committee from the Holy Cross point of view. Disgrace, really.
And, you know, I see Carl Barrett got the clubber man the match in that one as well, you know. So, you know, they were just so close. But Lochmore, I was watching bits and pieces again of this one. They're scoring, lads. They just have runners from everywhere. They just have finishers. Like, the McGrath is just so informed. They can, like, no, at one point there was no backlift again on it. Just, it looked like he barely stroked the ball and went 60, 70 yards over the bar. Like, they just, again, like, you know, I suppose they've been around the block so much the last couple of years, but you know, they have to be seen as contenders. The scores that they are putting up are really impressive. I know they're conceding a few as well.
They're being cut open for goals for ease. Holy Cross got three, should have another three or four, to be honest. On that, they caught a barrel and half forward and got 1-5. And his shooting was unreal. Like, for a lad that we normally corner back, he was slotting them over. Their movement for the score as well was excellent. But, like, again, the score thing, lads on the sideline know the score. Every team has two or three lads with stats. And, like, someone should be like, we're a point down. Why the fuck is lobbing this in? Like, and everyone going up for it. Like, I don't know. You can't play on a scoreboard, I think, in this strong fault. But, like, bounce back. They're capable of scoring. They scored 320 the weekend. Like, that'll win most games the weekend. But just against Lochmore, where they're scoring 30, 40 points, they're kind of struggling. So that's probably Holy Cross.
Yeah, it is a fair point. Frankie McGrath will probably be looking new ways to shore up that defence, but they are being cut open by runners again. With due respect to Temple Derry and Holy Cross, they're probably not seen as real Danbreen contenders yet. So, you know, Lochmore maybe have that bit of work to do as well, but they'll be happy with a shootout with any team, you think.
Just on Lochmore, I'd have no concern at all from a Lochmore point of view on what they're conceding. Like, I did a game against Temple Derry. Like, they genuinely just seem to be in second gear, lads. They're like a horse getting ready for the arc at the end of September. They're just having their prep runs, getting ready for the big county final at the end of the year. I'd have no concern whatsoever. They're doing enough to get over the games. And I tell you, when it comes to knockout stage, they won't be conceding 320 or conceding 30 points in games. I just think it's like a cat and mouse kind of thing. And that could be me completely exaggerating now, but they're like, they're playing, like, they completely played with Temple Derry. Temple Derry scored 418. Imagine being Temple Derry and saying before a game, you're going to score 418 against Lochmore. They're still going to lose by 6 points. Like, mother of God, I just think they're my favourites at the moment, and I'd have Nina second favourites if Jake is back, but I think they'll be completely fine defensive-wise come knockout stages.
Yeah, and I suppose the other game in that one was Temple. This one was Temple Derry and Upper Church. This one was nip and tuck for a long way. You know, watching this, but again, Temple Derry just, you know, falling short again. I think it was 5 points in the end of late Upper Church score, probably swinging it for him. Kind of leaves Upper Church in a bit of kind of no man's land here, just looking at the permutation. They're up against Lochmore next. So, you know, obviously the toughest one to come. Holy Cross versus Temple Derry is the other one. I make it, if Holy Cross beat Temple Derry, they'll go through anyway, because even if Upper Church win, Well, that put all four on four points, but the score difference.
Church would need a big win, wouldn't it? Church would need a 6-7 point win, and Holy Cross
because of the
score difference.
Because of the score difference with Holy Cross, that you know they put up a good. So you know it's third place would be most likely for Upper Church, but you know they don't want to. I suppose look, they probably won't end up in relegation if Holy Cross get the better Temple Derry. But you know Temple Derry would be the second year in, you know, since going up that they'll be in relegation semi final, but. They won't go down easily if they are in that. We'll write them off too early yet and putting them in there.
No, not at all. Like this Blairy team, and it's one thing that they've lacked the last couple of years. They've 12 or 13 real top quality senior club hurlers. They're just lacking that strength and depth. And like still at 118, there's nothing wrong with that kind of scoreline again. But like looking at their minus 13, like they need an almighty miracle against the Cross. Like they need a 12, 13 point turnaround against Upper Church. So look, I wouldn't be surprised if they won. It won't be enough though. But then again, coming to relegation semi final, if you're Killer One, or any other crowds, like you don't want to be meeting Temple Derry because these lads, I tell you, they've got a bit of spine they have, and you definitely don't want to be meeting Temple Derry in the knockout game.
Absolutely. Now, lads, I suppose one of the other moments of the weekend, definitely Barsley race into a lead over Kildare, you know, ever not go there. I actually turned it off, to be honest, again, to some of the other games on, and you flick back 20 minutes later, and there's Kildare have it back to 2 points, and you go, oh, Jesus. And then, look, I think Brendan Maher was taken off at half time, injured, but, you know, he brought himself back on early, and look, the magic is there, it's on the social media, it's great. They needed a goal from somewhere, but it's like he passed it into the back of the net again, like an ironer, and just kind of chipped it in there perfectly into the corner. Brilliant goal. Puts him in poor position.
Just on Brendan, a lot of people thought he was taken off injured. He wasn't. Brendan actually ran out in the field for the second half, lads.
He was
actually on the field and he basically fainted. So he fell ill. Like he basically just had no energy whatsoever and he fainted on the field. So, like, I know the backstory to that goal has been, I suppose, the commentary, and then Dennis Kelly calling him Lazarus and everything, and me going, oh, mother of God. I swear to God, I said, oh, mother of God, and I came up about 20 times after I heard myself saying it. But for Brendan to fall ill, basically faint, he passed the HIA then, come off the bench with 5 minutes to go, 3 or 4 points down. You could not write this stuff. Like, it was just...
And momentum completely against them at that stage because they're after blowing a big lead.
Oh, come here, and just leading up to the last 5-6 minutes, Barsley, I had actually my notes here, it was 18 points to 5 in the second half, like Killangan, I mean steamrolled them. The game was done and dusted, the energy was gone from the game, the atmosphere was gone, and all of a sudden, Dan just goes down the sideline, and how he wasn't pulled and dragged down, I don't know, Sean Kavanagh wasn't done in him, but lads, Jesus Christ, it was just the greatest drama. I felt like, I don't know, I felt like it was my own club or something. Do you know, it could have happened the other way around. It just we all got completely lost in the moment, but isn't it great though? The whole country's nearly talking about Brendan today and the club hurling and tape. It's absolutely brilliant to this.
Absolutely, but you know, look, I've this group open now on the, you know, the permutations are nearly endless here. I suppose such on the other game was, I suppose Sarsfield's dug it out against Clonalty. Sean, could there be any other way for this game? Is it going to be close? It could be a bit of an arm wrestle.
Yeah, it was, as I'm going to expect, Nick for top, but we kind of finished very strong the last 5 minutes. Tommy Lyle off the bench got 2 points and Seanie Butler got a pint, so got 4 points running in home there. Kind of similar against Double Church, finished strong the last 5-10 minutes, kept the game plan, kept working the ball, the score just came, could have been finished with a goal as well, but Clonalty maybe lacking a bit of power up front. He got everything in the second half for him from play and from freeze. Jack Rymanoff with a nasty injury actually went over. Saying his ankle, he would plan to play on, couldn't move, then eventually went off. So he wasn't firing right for him. So they're kind of locking in the firepower. But like Clonalty, they'll keep in the game. And like we just had to literally dig deep and got the win. And Darragh Satan with 1-3. Some of his striking there was excellent, his wrist work. But Dennis Maron from backline came up 3 or 4 ball at the very end as well. So like, good win, good to get. Like, it was kind of a relegation game in such a way that we could lose that and we're kind of queen relegation battle. Now we're kind of a chance now of getting out, maybe avoiding the primary as well with this. So, see how it goes.
Yeah, and you know, not to give too much away, I think you're sneakily down the power rankings a bit there. I'd have you that bit further up, but I think, you know, like you're kind of like cozily coming up to fit. Coming up the outside rail there, maybe you might have a preliminary, but you might
come here. They're like a well-handicapped horse, I tell you that much. That's what they're well
done. You know, he's on about Lochmore. You know, I put Sars in that bracket as well. They know exactly what the end game there is now. So you used a few as well this early, Sean. So I think he used four subs, wasn't it? So might
yeah,
be
James Armstrong also started the game there in the back line. So we're kind of going through our team, but we kind of added a few to Premier to meet us in well, that were kind of injured on holidays. So it's the way it's going to be, like, especially these games. We're going to use five subs in these games because they're so intense. Last 2 minutes of that game, the ball is up and down the field. Like, watching a few lads text me, they're watching a club and said, geez, the ball's in play there non-stop last 10 minutes. It's just action-packed. Like, no one, that's great to both teams, both fitness of both teams, well, like.
Absolutely. And I suppose, Gar, just on the final stage, it'll be Clonalty versus Kildangan. Where do you have Clonalty at all? Their form is just so in and out this year. They look so impressive at times. And then, you know, like losing a North final, kind of turning up then the first game and then kind of, you know, suffering that defeat kind of late on yesterday as well. And now they have another must-win game versus Clonalty.
And look, I never write Clonalty off, but this is one game now in 2 weeks' time. Kilang will win it, and then we're going to be bold enough to say it. Kilang that turned up in the second half yesterday, lads, it was absolutely scary, and I mean scary. Now, I know obviously Bursley were probably a bit sidetracked with Brendan going off, and they did loads of positional changes, but when the real Kilang turn up, lads, they're absolutely scary the way they're able to swing ball around. Clonalty, again, they kind of flattered the sieve yesterday. They had plenty of chances. They did loads of wides. I was watching the game last night, loads of wides. They didn't have enough outside Cottle Burke either. Going forward, and again Thurles, they were a cat and mouse. It was like Thurles knew, right, we'll turn on here for the last 5 minutes, get a couple of scores. Again, Darragh Sakin was unbelievable, but Kilangan for me will beat Clonalty, and Kilangan they'll go through automatically into a semi or into quarter final. And then Bursley and Thurles, geez, I couldn't call that. Now Thurles will be safe enough. They won't get relegated, so they won't have to, or they won't have to go into relegation. They'll have the trump card, obviously, but Kilangan will be Clonalty. That I'm very sure of now. And I no disrespect to anyone from Clonalty. Just I didn't see enough of them yesterday.
That's fair enough. And I suppose Bars versus Sars, then that's the third round game here. That's going to be a cracker again. Winner tops the group. That's a quarter final. Well, Sars have the preliminary anyway, but
we'd knock Boris out, sure, if Sars and Clonan win.
That's a soccer Saturday moment there, isn't it? Kind of, you know, those two games going. You know, like you'll have to be watching the both of those in pairs, because yeah, anything could happen there. Geez, that'd be a perfect Friday night fair, lads, or something like that. You know,
I'll say it to the powers of being clubber there, see if we can get a panel on a couple of maybe the likes of John Lahey and the lads come in and start Gillette soccer, Gillette Hurling Saturday or something.
Yeah, sailing's at a loose end there now, so
yeah,
but definitely. And I suppose with all these round three games as well, bar, you know, the drum group where they don't have to be together or whatever, but the other three groups, there's everything's to play for. So all those are going to throw in at the one time, you think. You know, that's going to add to the excitement and the suspense of it as well. There could be, I remember the old club St. Mary's, we were on the field a couple of years ago wondering whether we were out or in, such was the tightness, and you could see it really coming down to the same thing. So lads, just going to ask you for your game of the round three. So I'll just list them all out. You have Drum versus Brackens, which is a dead rubber. Monaghan versus Nina. Monaghan need a win to go through. Toome versus Ross Gray. Toome have that potential, you know, group topping opportunity. Mike Harkey, Kilruane, county champions from 2022 and possible relegation if they lose that. Lochmore versus Upper Church. Routine win for Lochmore, maybe. Holy Cross versus Temple Derry. Bars versus Sars. And Kildangan versus Clonalty. Just give me one game each.
Thurles Bursley.
Thurles, yeah. Good one.
Yeah, the same. Yeah, want to get our win on our thing, and Bursley have to win. So
that's the pay for you, Stephen.
Yeah, you can't look past that one. That's a
on the whole
one.
Nina, lads. Come on. Yeah, that's the big one.
That Monaghan Nina now will be a clash of styles, won't it? You know, Monaghan be tough, and Nina would want to play hurling. This should some great games on in round three in the senior
interesting
division.
To see how Nina approached that one as well. Like, you know, if Monaghan are in that coming down the straight. But look, time is against us, I suppose, so we have to move on to the Premier Intermediate Championship, the jewel in the crown of the Tipperary Hurling Championship as well. This one's all over, lads, because I was watching Lauren Killinall in the stadium on Sunday, and they both, you know, Laura won out in the end. Look mad for goals, kind of back to their best and all that. They look excellent, but you know, if they don't win it, Killinall well could as well. At stages, they look like the likeliest winner as well. But I was really impressed by the standard here.
For me, Kilnall are the standout team. I know I was actually speaking with Mr. Kennedy, the Lura goalie there today, and he was completely talking down Lura yesterday. Oh, they got a couple of handy goals at the right time. And I tell you one thing, you can make a politician, no problem.
But Kilnall hit a lot of wides as well.
They did, but Lauren Kilnall for me are two standout teams at Premier Intermediate, and it'll be the winner. Look, if they met again, I'd say Kilnall will overturn it, but Jesus, the right game. I watched it back again last night, and jeez, like, you couldn't, like, I know we had loads of good games that weekend, but that'd be right up there. And yeah, look, listen, two of the best teams, and I think Kilnall will have enough. If they meet again, they'll have enough to turn it over, but again, you could never write Laura off either.
Exactly. And the other game, that one was Gordon, who I suppose I thought it'd be a routine win over Portro, but Garrett, Portro now are one of the few teams that are actually confirmed for relegation. You know, that's, look, they've had a tough run, but look, they're in relegation now. So just your thoughts on them.
Yeah, look, I suppose they're probably everyone's favourites to be one of the four, obviously, with two boys, AJ and Ruan, missing. And obviously, any club missing those have been serious trouble. But, and I'll be honest here, I thought they were going to give a bit of a hocking last night. And like, Gartnahoo, last year's beaten county finalists, Portro got an awful hocking against Kilnall. I thought they were going to come down here. And now look, they never lie down. That's Portro. They never lie down. But I was very impressed with Portro last night. A 3-point defeat against last year's county beaten finalists. Look, like, I don't want to be nailing my flag to the mast. There's probably two teams, I think, are two standout teams for in relegation at the moment. And we'll get to the other one, unfortunately. And I don't talk about myself, but Portro. But look, come here. Look, if the Portro that turned up yesterday, if that turns up in the relegation semi-final, they could be okay. But at the moment, you'd have to worry for them, unless there's a miracle with AJ and Ruan coming back, which I don't know. I haven't heard anything, actually, so...
I'll give you a few minutes rest before we talk about Silver Mines, and I presume Newport after being subjected to that game as well on Saturday. But we'll come back to that later. We'll go to the Group One in this, which is St. Mary's, Cashel, Mine, and Ballina. I suppose first Mine and Ballina, the two losers from the first round. Ballina won that. Stephen O'Brien was on the field about 20 seconds, I'd say, got a crucial goal. That was just after Conor Bow went off with an injury. I don't know how serious, but that was a double blow for Mine, and they never recovered.
Yeah, it's a tough time for Mine, all right, you know, especially after the first day. They would have wanted to come out and make amends, you know, because it was a poor performance both on the field and off the field. And, you know, the hammer blow there with that goal, it's just, you know, when you get in a rut, it's hard to get out of it, you know what I mean? And they seem to be in that rut now. And it's just not looking good for him.
No, you know, like, they did no real kick in him, you know, once that goal went in. You know, in the end, look, they've, I suppose, like a lot of teams at this, you've a couple of dominant players, and when Bo went off with an injury or stuff, you know, he was, you know, that it was just a massive moment. And then Stephen O'Brien, you'd have 2 more weeks fitness training in him, you know. So Ballina or it will be looking upwards, they'll be having. The other game was Cashel and St. Mary's. Cashel finished this one really strong. I think they hit 128 in the end. Both teams missing a couple, St. Mary's and Cashel. But, you know, yeah, I was very impressed with Cashel. I wouldn't know quite where to place them behind maybe Lauren Killenall.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/acast. That's burrow.com/acast. burrow.com/acast.
But they would be up there now, I think. You know, Ollie Moran coaching them or managing whatever one it is. Yeah, they look a good, powerful side. And then, you know, I think they'll only get better as the competition goes on.
I thought it was a good statement win yesterday. I was expecting St. Mary's now to turn them over with Cashel down a few lads as well, but that's a huge win, huge statement for them, and they are a big physical team. They're a fit team, and like they'll probably be hurting over the Burgess game last year. They were bullied out of it, and they'll want a big response this year from the boys, and they'll be chomping at the bit to get a crack in the knockout stages. And if they keep going, and we have to give them credit. Like we were more on Moyne's case 2 weeks ago, because they had so many extra men. But you have to give Cashel huge credit this week, for turning over St. Mary's, being down a couple of good players as well.
Absolutely. And they had big performances. Now, St. Mary's weren't bad by any accounts. They just said, Mary's were down a few as well. But the likes of Paddy Fahey, I think in full forward was just a handful the whole game. Cathal Quinn there as well, and the two Connollys kind of, they're coming into their own, I suppose, as hurlers. So Cashel are probably a team to watch for the remainder of this. The permutations in this one then, just to take St. Mary's, you could go through with 2 points and you could go out with 4 points, depending on the score difference going forward. For mine, it's straightforward. They have to win to avoid relegation, and Ballina have to win to have a pop at. I suppose they don't have to win against Cashel, but a win would help them a long way. Ballina, Cashel as well, and Cashel have to win to secure top spot in that one.
Mine basically have to beat Cashel by, what they're looking at here, 11.
Yes, mine versus Mary's in the last game.
Sorry, Mines versus Mary. Sorry, they have to win by 11 points because there's an 11 point difference there between Ballinacca. It comes out the head to head first, doesn't it?
Head to head first, yeah.
Yeah, so like the Jays, they have to beat Mary's by 11 points. Like, not look, I'm not going to say anything that Americans aren't going to happen, but geez, I cannot see that happen at all. Now, all reports, I'm speaking with someone from mine today, Connor Ball will be fine for the game. He won't be playing football at this weekend, but he will be fine for the Mary's game. But Jesus, 11 points to beat Mary's with, that's not going to happen. So Moyne are probably going to be down there in that relegation semi-final. But come here, Ballinavra and Stephen O'Brien, like, literally in the space of 2 minutes, ball went off, O'Brien came on, game was over, done and dusted. So big plus for having him back.
Exactly. And I suppose the next group they'll need the calculators out in the hole of Carrick for the next couple of weeks, Stephen, with the Davins group as well, we'll come to. But the Swan group now, I suppose, no team is out in this group as well. So you have Carrick, Swan, Sarsfield, B, Aero, who got a much needed win, and Sean Tracy's there, who are, I suppose, bringing up the basement at the moment, could go through. Again, Sean, Jesus, 1 point defeat in the home of Hurling Clonmel against Swan. We knew this one was going to be tight.
Yeah, we're kind of saying it there in our own chats here during the week. Ourselves and Swan's law is a draw or a point either way, and that's what it ought to be until the free at the end, like the game of the draw, and you give it free for shoulder to shoulder. Like, that's got a risk. Fuck me, this is scandalous. Like, the shoulder to shoulder, I watched the back.
Yes.
Like 8 times now. Throw the game up, both teams take a draw. That was it. Give the free, blew it up. Like, no, so that's the way it is in them
it
games.
Changes that, decisions. That changed the dynamic of the group completely,
But again, we had our own, we had a lot of wides ourselves. We win in the first half, and then we went 2 points up, couldn't win more up in the second half as well. Just, we could have had more scores, but it's just kind of down out last day and literally calculate or pen and paper, kind of watching what's gone in the other game as well. But it's a group that ain't gonna happen. I couldn't call it. It's like Aero coming relegation, like that's, or it's top group. It's meant we could be relegation top group. It's crazy, like, no.
Yeah, and just I don't have it written down who the Sarsfields have in the last round of this.
We're playing Sean Tracy's.
I'd fancy yourselves there, would you? They own a few from the senior, but
Have the last money from Saturday night to the seniors.
James Armstrong would have been gone now, though, so another one. So, but he was kind of always expected to go. So Mickey has gone back in probably in half instead of him. So not too bad a swap. But still,
I was up with the match there. I was very impressed with Sars for a long period of time, and I think had they scored, they had a, I can't think of who it was there, but he had a wonderful chance. He broke through from under the hospital, and threw one on one with the goalie. A fantastic save from Kieran Lunigan, but it should have been finished. And at that stage, they were really on top. They were motoring and cruising, I'd say. But when that goal didn't go in, it just gave the Swan hope. And you just can't give them any hope. And they kept at it and at it. And then the sending off then changed the game completely. Along with a couple of poor wides from Sars in the second half when they kind of got back on top of it. But I thought Sars were very impressive. I thought they were really well. And for me, it's just a matter of, can they avoid losing lads to the senior team? And I think they'd get over Sean Tracy's comfortable enough.
Yeah, and for the Swan, then it's Swan Aerog. That's nearly a knockout game.
This is a big one.
Yeah, Swan can't go to relegation. We know that much.
No, they're safe. They're safe from relegation, but a winner takes all of this game. So this should be a humdinger of a game next weekend or 2 weeks' time. You know, both teams will fancy the chances. They'll be confident after the weekend, after the slow start. And, you know, like, I think this is potentially to be an absolute brilliant game.
Yeah, and I suppose they're
two very similar teams, Aerog and Swan. Just from watching both of them back, you know, they're walking in the same kind of similar style. So this will be a crack. I fancy the Swan somehow. I don't know why.
And we have the Lonely Hearts ad up on the Premier View forum for us. Anyone from the West who kind of wants to come on and chat and fight their corner as well. Yeah, as well. So, like, you know, maybe for round three of the games, we'll have someone from the West on as well to complete to give every division their fair hearing as well. But that ad is still there. So if you want to kind of come on, more than welcome. Yeah. So Aerog, look, that was a must win game for me. You know, they could easily slid into relegation. I suppose they still could, but at least they're looking forward now. The last group in that is Burgess, who haven't had to do too much now, but are 2-2. And I suppose, Jesus, I was watching Burgess Newport lads, and they just took over the second half completely. Newport were as bad as I've seen, you know, because I had high hopes after them grabbing a draw in the first game. You know, that, you know, even to spring a surprise here, to be perfectly honest, if you would have called it a surprise. But Gareth, oh, geez, were you commentating on this one? Did you have the pleasure of doing this?
I was, and unfortunately, it was definitely the worst game I've done since the season had started. And there's no disrespect to either teams. Look, these things happen. You have bad games, bad days, but I'd say Newport are just sick, absolutely sick in the stomach. Look, you lose a game, there's no problem losing a game, lads, but like, I mean, when you don't hurl at all, like, they did not turn anything on at all. They had, what, 8 yellow cards, 1 red card. It's like there was an agenda before the game or something. They were just fighting left, right, and centre. There could have been 20 minutes of injury time playing the first half. The ref, actually, who's the ref? And I can't remember who the ref was, but he blew it up after 32 minutes, and we were laughing there in the commentary box.
It was John McCormack.
I said John. And actually, sorry, it was John. I spoke with John after the game, and I say he was just sick of it. Absolutely sick of it. Now, a game of hurling did break out eventually in the second half, which was all Burgess lads. Stephen Murray on one leg, he basically pulled a hamstring a couple of weeks ago. He scored 1-10, 1-2 from play. But sure, Stephen Murray's just class. Like Burgess,
missed the penalty as well. It was just to sum it up.
I have to give a shout out to Ronan Tucker. He made two class saves, and then he saved the penalty from Conor O'Matney. Ronan was very good. But Burgess, up until the 45th minute, Burgess only had one score. Stephen Murray had scored everything. And Burgess was and Burgess were still well in control. It was one of the strangest games I've ever come across. And I say Newport binds now in a couple of weeks' time. I have a feeling there'll be a backlash coming from Newport, and that's
a de facto relegation quarter final, Gar. And I suppose, look, said reminds are, you know, again, not having a great year, kind of lost both games. Geez, they got a right hand in here looking at the result, 218 to 13 points to Clonakenny. Jesus, that's, I suppose, just win and then put the year behind you.
I don't know where to start with this now. Again, look, obviously, I'd be fairly sensitive, obviously, talk to those lads I know and everything, but look, no disrespect to Clonakenny would be up there as well, challenging for a Premier to meet this year, and they probably know that themselves, right? Their aim is to get out of the group, but then once you get out of the group, you don't know. But Jesus, it was just one of the most disappointing performances I've seen from a Mainz team in a decade or even longer. I have to say to Brian Lawler, lads, it's the youngest Mainz team probably in 20 years. No, that has to be put on record as well. It's the youngest team I've ever come across in my 15, 20 years hurling adult tournament with the Mainz. But I don't know. I just watched it and I was just in complete shock the last 15 minutes. And we had 13, 14 wides. But this day and age, 13 or 14 wides isn't too much. But most of them came from Jason. So the other lads weren't even creating the chances to hit the wides. You know, it was just brutally disappointing. Clonakenny fully deserved their 2 points. But yeah, I might move swiftly on from that one.
Yeah, no, that's fair enough. That's Newport, they can still get through there looking at the
they need
a big swing on score difference.
They need 23 points of a score difference. So
Never know.
No, over here, listen. Well,
never know.
They said FBD Insurance Championship. Anything can bloody happen, so you don't know.
But all right, lads, we'll move swiftly on after that, I suppose, because another jewel of a championship. Stephen, you're a bit conflicted for this one, so we'll go to you first. Davins, you let it slip. You had the chance to go two from two there, two wins straight into, a shot at a quarterfinal last game. Drone Mossin at late score Friday night kind of leaves you ruin what might have been, and now that this group that's all teams I think can go through still.
Yes, the frustration today, especially after last night's result, is compounded to even more, because we had three opportunities at the end of the game to get the winner, and one of the options was our own making. Mikey Whalen came out of the sky with a brilliant catch, 50 yards from goal, no one on him except his teammate, who absolutely poleaxed him going for the same ball. So the referee gave a indirect free to us. We took it, we won it, we got blocked, but Pa won the rebound again, and to be honest, I thought he was going to just tap it over off his left-hand side, but he passed it, and we were bottled up, and look, game over. But yeah, it was a good game, good tough game. Now, even playing in goal, you can tell how physical and fast it was out in the field. And look, I suppose to take the positive from a disappointing result is we would have took the hand off you at the start of the year if you said we'd be going into the last game with the ball in our court, we'd have been, rightly so, we'd have been everyone's relegation favourites. But we're on 3 points now. We have a chance the next day to top. 4-9
through our veil puts you right there.
Yeah. And weirdly, all four teams could finish on 3 points as well. And if that happened, we'd go through as group winners, which could be crazy. But any one of the four teams, I think, can top the group. And any one of the four teams can be relegated as well. So it's wide open.
The other game that is Aravail, who had a great 1 point win over Knockavilla. So they're back on the horse now. They're back after a heavy defeat in round one. So again, them and Drum, what you think would be a knockout game either way, I suppose the winner that go through, and probably the winner of the Davins game will go through. Davins and Knockavilla is the easiest way, I suppose, maybe to summarise that group.
Yeah, that's it, yeah. And fabulous result for Aravail. Like, a great response after the first day, because I know they were disappointed going away the first day, and Johnny Ryan been missing as well. They knew themselves they were going to get stronger. So, but I think Knockavilla were still favourites on the day, and they'll be ruined that chance as well. But look, there's three rounds for a reason, and everyone has a crack at it now to get through.
Yeah, I suppose onto round two, where there's an up and coming manager, Michael McCarthy, performing miracles in Capa White. They've won a West Intermediate. I think they're two in a row, and now they've beaten Ballingarry to kind of have one foot in the quarterfinals as well. Capa White are flying it.
Yeah, Capa White are. They bet Ballingarry last year as well, I think. I was the year before.
So. Yeah, it was last year, yeah.
Yeah, so it's not, that's not a major surprise there. But yeah, they're a good team. We played them in the county league up in Capa White there early in the year, a right good tough game. So yeah, they're a very good team, and Capa, they're going to be one of the teams duking it out at the business end.
I suppose this is a bit like the Premier Intermediate. There's a lot of good teams in one of the groups, so it kind of might concentrate things a bit. But they have a great chance there to go and win the group there. They have to beat Kildangan B to secure the win there. Golden looking a bit of trouble here in terms of relegation. Again, another West side, they kind of haven't seemed to got going. We were missing a few lads over the summer, but they play Ballingarry now. Ballingarry win, and the Capa White win, they'll go through in 1 and 2 there. But again, I'd fancy Ballingarry to just get the job done there, and I'd be surprised, Garrett. Kildangan B, could they cause a surprise maybe against Capa White last round?
Sure, look, this is like Kildangan B, obviously left with Earthland Permanent Intermediate. They just seen had a lot more quality this year. They're down a lot of bodies, like the Bull Gleason didn't even start for Kildangan. That's why I was very impressed Kildangan get that win at the weekend. Now, Bull only came on about 10 minutes ago. I'd say it'd be a big shock now if they did get a win. They just seem to be lacking that extra bit of quality they had the years before in Premier Intermediate. But again, they're a club that's, look, they're just as ignorant. And I mean, again, the nicest possible way. Like, they won't lie down at all. These lads, like Neil Callan, Deddy from Free, Andy Lacknan, Trendy played senior there most of his life. He got 3 points played last day. DJ McGrath as well. So look, I wouldn't write them off, but I would be surprised if they did win.
Yeah, exactly. So you know, there's no one guaranteed in relegation from that group either. We move on to Group Three, and I suppose this, I think there is three divisional winners in this group. So you have Moneygall, Borland, Kilsheelan, and poor old Shannon Rovers, who drew the short straw in this group, and I think they're consigned to relegation, if I'm not mistaken already. Yeah. But you know, they're the team that probably everyone else won't want to get in the relegation semi-final, whoever they draw on this. Kilsheelan kind of took care of Shannon Rovers 124-112, and Borland played out a very entertaining 319-125 draw with Moneygall. So again, thoughts on this one, lads?
Well, I should love this. Borland, what, were 7, 8, 9 points up at half time up until Bildery Moneygall came back. They were cruising. Borland got a late goal. And then Mark Fanning, he loves the socks up around the knee, Mark does, and he loves an old flick here and there, but he got the equalising point. I still think Moneygall are going to win this county. Shannon Rovers, for me, would be in the top eight in the county. So whoever gets them in the relegation semi-finals, God help them, they'll be fine. But as you say, talk about short straws, like mother of God, like Jesus, you could not have picked a harder group for the Rovers.
Exactly. You could say, you know, the best three teams in this, no disrespect to anyone else, are actually in this group.
Oh, geez, they are. Yeah,
absolutely, you'd have that down to the start of the year. Like they would have been the best top three teams in the group, and you know, there's the games between themselves have been humdingers. Like, you know, so there's nothing in the first day, Kilsheelan and Borland, and then Moneygall and Borland played out a humdinger of a draw. Kilsheelan, I've seen the Kilsheelan game; they wouldn't be 20 points, but it was more. If you get what I'm trying to say, it was more of a beating than 12 points. They were cruising in the game, and where you'd be fearful for Moneygall, although they are a great team. We played them last year, and to be honest, I'm not going to say we robbed them. I think we deserve to win on the day, but they were a fantastic team. And it's the confidence could be the issue with them now going into, you know, you don't want to be losing games, and you don't want to be losing badly either, you know, and you wouldn't fancy playing them again in a relegation semi-final, but they need to manage the confidence now, you know, from losing all the games.
Absolutely, and I suppose the last group there is, I suppose there's some sound interest in this one as well, Stephen. So the Barca Kane on 4 points, 2 wins. Skeena Rinky on 2 points. They won, you know, the first game versus Ballybacon. Ballybacon, I won't say it was a surprising win versus Upper Church, but it was a must-win for them in Upper Church, bring up the rear in that last year's Junior A champions. So again, they could be the club that's consigned for the relegation playoffs from that group.
Yeah, I have them down as relegated on my notes here. So maybe I could be wrong on there, but I think Ballybacon Grange would have...
Well, other friends in Upper Church, that's Stephen's opinion.
Just I but maybe the numbers are wrong. Maybe I have them wrong. But I would have... If I was a Ballybacon
Grange... Yeah, they're in the relegated. They're in the bottom from that group, but they're not relegated yet. Like, you know,
No, sorry. I mean they're the certs to finish fourth.
Yeah,
sorry,
yeah.
Sorry, right. Yeah. Apologies to all the Upper Church boys next time I'm in Drumbad. But no, if I was a Ballybacon man, I would have been looking at that game thinking that's where we get the win, you know. Coming up from Junior A up to Intermediate and then losing James Barry would be a blow to any team, you know, and his experience alone would have been valuable. But so I wouldn't have been too surprised with that result. And I think, I think Upper Church are probably... You know, they're probably the team you'd want to meet in a semi-final of the relegation if you got there yourselves.
Yeah, and I'm actually just looking at the table there, man. Maybe a 20-point win for Upper Church in their last game versus Boris Kane might get them out of it. But, you know, again, put it on the dressing room wall, I suppose, if you want some motivation there on that one. Right, lads, I suppose that's all the games reviewed and previewed. How are we going to watch all these games, Gar?
I'm going to have a big round table meeting with Jimmy and Lara in the morning to make sure we've split screens and to let soccer Saturdays and everything. Like as you said earlier on, like I didn't even consider it for most of these group games are going to be on the same time. So like I know from a clubber point of view, I don't know what the lads are going to do. We're actually talking there this morning saying, look, trying to just cover the meaningful games. But then we got the pen and paper, we realised there's 22 meaningful games. So it could be a thing. I know there were 33 games on in total in Clubber the weekend gone across five counties. There could be, I wouldn't put past Jimmy's man in the brush. He could have all 22 games on Clubber in 2 weeks' time. But look, there'll probably be 14, 16, if not more. I don't know. But all lads, come here. Like I think he put it up there on Twitter or something there yesterday. Like, it has to be this year anyway, it has to be the most competitive club championship in any code in any county in the country. And look, again, I've been fairly critical towards the county board the last couple of years, just on, I suppose, the marketing and the kind of exciting things and other bits and bobs. But what they've done in the last year or two, obviously we did the regrading of the 16, they've turned the social media and marketing side things around unbelievably. I just think we have this absolute cream of the crop here, and it's not going anywhere. And I just hope that God, nothing changed with the inter-county scene, because this is, like, I'm 33 now on Wednesday, so you can hold the birthday cards there for a couple of days. But this is by far the greatest championship I've ever seen in my time on this planet. So
long may it last. And well, it has the certainty players know when they're going to be playing. You know, the three games are mapped out, and every probably two weeks after that, it gives, you know, the certainty that was surely lacking, you know, for years. And, you know, it was just really bad at times. You could have one game in April or whatever, one championship division, and then nothing again till August, September. And then, you know, three games in a week, whatever like that. So it just gives so much certainty. But the quality has definitely gone up as well. And some of the clips that are going up as well, I should have said, geez, Peter McGarry, the goalie guy yesterday as well. You know, in a normal club weekend, you'd be looking, you know, it'd be going viral. But it was just brilliant. The standard, seeing the crowds in Care again last night, the crowds at the club, you know, like, generally they're really good, and the weather's playing ball a bit. You know, it's turning, that'll only build and grow as well.
Like, come here, just on that, like, I suppose a lot of counties, I suppose, over the last couple of years when COVID went away or whatever, they were kind of reluctant to go to the streaming. And I could see the point in it, right? We're ringing streaming, lads aren't going to go to games and they're not going to spend the money. But lads, the crowds at the games have just been incredible. And, like, obviously the figures for Clubber are doing decent enough as well, the viewing figures. Like, it just goes to show, if you get the product out there, you market it right and you produce it right, the players in the field will always produce the goods. So it's up to the people to talk obviously with their hands on their laptops and with their feet at games. Like, the crowds at games have just been phenomenal. So just fair play to all the people in their clubs and the neutrals and everything going to the games. It's just been incredible. So yeah, long may it last, yeah.
Exactly. I just think on the crowd, I think it's because, like, during the week now, I'll watch back more games again on Clubber. I'm like, geez. And then I go to games, and then you watch them back again. Like, it's not affecting footfall, I think, whatsoever. Yeah. That is bringing more people to the games, because I see an intermediate game where, geez, that was a cracker. I tip in, so I watch that, and then watch another game back. That's the way it is, isn't it?
It's building a bit of a relationship with the games you can see, with the championships as well. You know, it's getting you involved, because you're watching teams and, you know, the scores as well, you're tracking progress as well. So I said, look, this is all part of it. The podcast plays a very small role in it as well, and the social media, great job. It's all promotion. So
I just want to mention as well, to yourselves, look, I know I'm a guest here and everything, but, like, obviously in Clubber, we're sharing all our stuff on social media and putting our clips out, and obviously, look, the views are incredible. Like, on my own Instagram page, I think I've 300,000 views on the few videos I put up in the last 4 weeks. It's mental. But fair play to you for sharing and resharing and giving credit and everything, because, look, Clubber are obviously trying to make an investment here with the county board, but everyone needs to play their part, and that's not people going to games and resharing it. But yourselves, like, you don't just play a small part, as controversial as you are, you play a fair part, so fair play to you. And again, look, long may all these relationships last.
Exactly, thanks a million. And I suppose the last big shout out to Clonmelogue as well, in their maiden Junior A South Final. Stephen's looking over the shoulder there. Clonmel's going to become the new powerhouse of hurling there with the Noisy Neighbours start up as well. So they played a good win over Care as well. So Colm's crew, who'd be on now and again. So, you know, fair play to them. Lads, plenty of action now. You've all given your game of the week from the senior. So look, we'll be keep an eye on it on the socials and all that. But thanks a million.
Just before we go, lads, just a small announcement. So it's from Clubber and kind of in conjunction with CK Streaming. We had a chat today, and we're going to be bringing live county final previews for the hurling and football. It's going to be in association with the Hibernian Inside Nina. So look, whenever, obviously the closer to the dates, we'll announce it over social media, but we're going to be having, I suppose for the hurling, you'll have someone from the mid, north, south, east and west, north, south, mid and west, It'll be a live show. You can buy tickets going to it. And I suppose, look, what we're going to be doing is selling the tickets, obviously, for the live event, and all proceeds will be going to the Dylan Quirk Foundation for both the hurling finals and the football finals. So just want to say thanks very much to Kieran Morris inside the Hibernian Inn and Clover and CK Streaming. And hopefully, look, closer to time, we'll announce more details. But look, there should be absolute belters, a bit of crack, a bit of fun in the night, and obviously more money raised for the Dylan Quirk Foundation.
Exactly. Thanks, Emil. Fair play to all involved in that great cause. And, you know, the Dylan Quirk Foundation, they have a few events going on over the summer. So if you see the bucket or whatnot, try and give a few quid. Thanks, all lads.
Ciao, lads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary, not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.